Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Dodla Dairy Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q2 FY24 results conference call of Dodla Dairy Limited. We have with us senior management, represented by Mr. Sunil Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. B.V.K. Reddy, CEO, and Mr. Murali Mohan Raju, Finance Controller. I congratulate the management for the excellent set of numbers in Q2 FY24 and hand over the call for the initial comments, post which we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Aniruddha. This is Sunil here. So thank you all very much, and hello, everyone. I welcome you all to Dodla Dairy Q2 and half yearly financial year 2024 earnings conference call. Dodla Dairy continues to prudently invest in the supply chain, and thereby we're delivering, you know, for customer delight and also some value to the customer stakeholders. The company's revenue grew by 10.4% year-on-year to 7,678 million in Q2 financial year 2024. Dodla's value-added products and packing pack product sales continue to display momentum with 13.1% year-on-year growth at around 1,953 million. This is basically owing to deeper distribution channel penetration and also the brand recall, which is being built up over a period of years. The company's VAP sales contributed 26.1% to the overall revenue in Q2 financial year 2024. The company is now geared up for the upcoming festive season with this, you know, we have a robust product portfolio coinciding with the peak flush season that is now going on for the year 2023-2024, along with a strong balance sheet. We also continue to invest in sustainability, innovation, and some technology initiatives in our business. This is basically aiming at long-term value creation for us, our stakeholders. Now, I'll just briefly run through the financial numbers for the September year ended 30th, 2023. Financial highlights for the quarter ended September 30th, 2023. Operation revenues, like I said earlier, stand at 7,678 million in Q2 financial year 2024, as compared to 6,953 million in Q2 FY 2023. This is registering a growth of 10.4%. The company's domestic business grew by 11.2% year-on-year to 7,155 million, whereas its international business revenues stood at 521 million in Q2 FY 2024. EBITDA grew by 19.2% year-on-year to rupees 702 million in Q2 FY 2024. EBITDA margins expanded by 68 basis points year-on-year to 9.1%, owing to lower raw material pricing, which is around 118 basis points year-on-year. However, a bit of expenses have grown by 19 basis points year-on-year, which is basically, you know, 19 plus and 32 basis points year-on-year on employee and other expenses, as stated above. Profit after tax grew by around 10.5% year-on-year at 436 million in Q2 FY 2024. PAT margin stood at 5.7% in Q2 FY 2024. EPS for Q2 FY 2024 stood at 7.26, as compared to 6.58 in Q2 FY 2023. Now, talking about our operational highlights for the quarter ended September 30th, 2023. Average milk procurement during Q2 FY 2024 was at 17 lakh liters per day, as compared to 14.3 lakh liters per day in Q2 FY 2023. This is registering around an 18.9% year-on-year growth. Average milk sales during Q2 FY 2024 was around 10.9 lakh liters per day. Curd sales during Q2 FY 2024 was at 309.3 metric tons per day, as compared to 292.4 metric tons per day in Q2 FY 2023. This is an increase of around 5.8% year-on-year. Revenue from value-added products, including fat and fat-based products, grew by 13.1% year-on-year to 1953 million in Q2 FY24 vis-a-vis 1727 million in Q2 FY23. VAP, including fat and fat products, contribution stood at 26.1% of the overall dairy revenue during Q2 FY24 as compared to 25.2% contribution of the overall dairy revenue during Q2 FY23. Now moving on to the financial highlights for the 6 months ended September 30th, 2023. Operational revenues is at 15912 million or 1591 crores in half year 24 as compared to 14123 million or 1412 crores in half yearly FY23, registering a growth of 12.7% year-on-year. The company's domestic business grew by 13.7% year-on-year to 14782 million or 1478 crores, whereas international business revenues stood at 1127 million or 112 crores in H1 24. EBITDA grew by 25.6% year-on-year to 1306 million or 130 crores in H1 FY24. EBITDA margins have expanded by around 84 bps year-on-year to 8.2% owing to lower raw material prices and other expenses. However, employee expenses grew up a bit more. Profit after tax grew by 22.1% year-on-year at 786 million or 78.6 crores in half-year FY24. PAT margin stood at 4.9% in H1 24. EPS for the half-year 24 stood at 13.09 as compared to 10.73 in the half-year of Q2 FY23. Now, talking about the operational highlights for the 6 months ended, average milk procurement during half-year FY24 was 16.4 lakh litres per day as compared to 14.5 lakh litres per day in H1 FY23. This is registering a growth of 13.1% year-on-year. Average milk sales during half-year FY24 was at 11 lakh litres per day as compared to 10.7 lakh litres per day in half-year FY23, registering a 2.6% year-on-year growth. Curd sales during FY24 were at 374.2 metric tons per day as compared to 359.0 metric tons per day in half-year FY23, increasing by 4.2% year-on-year. Revenue from value-added products, including fat and fat-based products, grew by 13% year-on-year to 4539 million or 453.9 crores in half-year FY24 vis-a-vis 4017 million or 401 crores in half-yearly FY23. VAP, including fat and fat-based products, contributions to that 29.2% of the overall dairy revenue during half-year FY24 as compared to 29% contribution of the overall dairy revenue during half-year FY23. The company is poised for delivering long-term sustainable growth based on a robust business model, their state-of-the-art plants, diversified product portfolio and a strong balance sheet with net debt-free status, coupled with an adequate cash balance for organic and inorganic growth. Lastly, my sincere gratitude to our esteemed stakeholders for their continual trust on Dodla Dairy's vision. We continue to strengthen our government's framework through the trust on ESG practices. Dodla Dairy team will remain committed to support its dairy farmers network and fulfill the consumer health and nutrition needs through our milk and VAP products. Now with this, I would like to hand over to our CEO, Mr. BVK Reddy, who will give you some more information.
Thank you so much, Sumitra. Very good morning to all the participants. We have concluded a healthy quarter with a revenue growth and strong key performance indicators, as stated earlier. We are continuously enhancing our footprints, strengthening our family language. As of 30th September 23, we have procured milk from around 1.4 lakh dairy farmers daily, of which 89% are provided the regular direct payment in bank accounts. Our direct procurement model has further strengthened, wherein we are buying almost all the milk directly from the farmers across more than 8,500 villages. As compared, resulting in cost saving and establishment of deep-rooted relationships with them, Dodla Dairy Arga Feed Division keeps supporting agriculture community and dairy industry. or the future will be channeled directly to the farmers through its procurement network, thereby strengthening the relationship with the farmers by optimizing livestock health and enhancing productivity. Agri-food revenue stood 38 crores in H1 24, with EBITDA of approximately 3 crores during the same period. In terms of our presence, we serve 13 states in India, supported by 15 processing plants with nearly 22 lakh liters per day capacity. We currently have 135 kiln plants as of September 23. We have 631 dealer retail parlors. We also have a strong network of 2,000 plus milk and milk distributor channels. We have around 2,700 agents network that are all established in many areas of the country. Dodla Dairy looks forward to strengthen its grass-to-glass business model layered with backward as well as a forward integration. Our presence in the entire dairy value chain, including research, procurement and storage, processing, distribution and cattle feed, amplifies the management's clear focus on the long-term business vision. Additionally, the company aims to enhance operational efficiencies with automation, digitization initiatives and increase the distribution network, thereby delivering a sustainable value for our stakeholders. That concludes our update on the strategy, which we believe has been a positive for most statistics. With that being said, now I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on our revenue growth. So our revenues have increased by around 10% year on year, and I believe most of our revenue growth would have come from price hikes taken in last 3 to 4 quarters. So if you could just talk about why volume growth has been weak in this quarter, especially in liquid milk, and how do you see the volume growth going forward?
Aditya, thank you very much for joining in. Predominantly what happened was, I think in Karnataka specifically, we have taken more of price hikes which happened in the last couple of quarters, and due to which there was a certain amount of correction that had to happen because of the time lag by the time we increased and the cooperatives have increased. I think therefore there was a little the drop in volumes that happened. That is one of the reasons. The second reason is also, I think, you know, the more of these unseasonal rains coming in at odd hours, odd times, and other issues which also caused a little drop in volumes. And the third is, as usual, is the stagflation that has been happening in terms of the volumes in each pack have been reduced by all of us in terms of price versus pack sizes. But these three was the reason for the milk volumes to come down. I think going forward, we are seeing a slight improvement happening, and I think by the fourth quarter, it should be back to normal growth rates as we've been having earlier. So that is the only reason, and we are not, we are confident that it will improve and come back to normal sales.
Got it, sir. And sir, secondly, there has been a huge jump in our inventory. So Dodla as a company, we generally do keep such high amounts of inventory in our books. So if you could just explain what has led to this big jump in inventory?
Yeah, so this time basically, like we are saying, we have this high flush, and as if you look at it, our procurement volumes are far higher. This has also been a reason that we have been telling, I think, for the last couple of quarters, we have been saying that we will keep increasing our procurement in the future, that we will not be a net buyer, but we will become a net seller if required of commodities or powder to make our milk pricing more stable and keeping the quality of milk to be higher is what the call that we have made. And added to that also, the flush, which was far better than what it normally used to be, is the reason why the inventory buildup has happened. And I think this inventory buildup will be there now, and it will again, as so we normally we used to buy in the month of November, December or Jan, we would buy powder stocks that we required from outside. Currently, without buying because we're making our own, is where it will look a little earlier. I think by March, it might be a little more, maybe a 50 crore, 70 crore difference in inventory might happen because we're also increasing our procurement. But it will maintain status quo of what we normally maintain at the year.
Good. So, just a follow-up. So, you mentioned that we are trying to get into more commodities. So, but what is the thought process of getting into these commodity products? Because if the prices keep falling down, we would have to keep inventory losses going forward.
So, I'm not saying we'll get into commodities. We're saying we're trying to match our procurement and sale because our sale output in terms of the solids and milk is higher than the input because now there's less buffalo milk and more cow milk. So for balancing of that, we are trying to balance it with our own milk rather than being dependent on future from third-party milk or other sources of buying of powder as a commodity if required. So we are trying to now match it with our own milk. And if there is a surplus, it will be a, because we can't match it precisely, the little surpluses that we get can be sold as a commodity if we come to surplus.
Got it, sir. Sir, and my next question is regarding our Africa business. So if you could just talk about the trends in procurement prices we are seeing in Africa. And is there any seasonality in the Africa business? So are Q1 and Q3 better quarters than the Q2 and Q4 quarters?
BBK will answer that, sir. I mean, the question was saying, will the prices have any impact and is the seasonality in Africa, correct?
Yes.
So BBK will answer that, sir.
Yeah, yeah. See, there is a seasonality in Africa also. But no, Africa, what is happening on and off, you know, the permit issue is there between Uganda and Kenya. So because of that, you know, you will see some variation in the revenue growth.
No, sir. Sir, if I look at the margins, Q2, the margins have dropped quite a bit.
There's a seasonality. There also, you know, there's a flush lean, you know. Sometimes in the lean season, purchase prices are going up. So that time, you know, see, you will see the low profitability. And then, you know, subsequent quarters, you know, again, you know, procurement prices are going down. Then one particular quarter, you see a good profit. If you see the first quarter, profitability is high. Second quarter, profitability is low. And again, third quarter, it is already picked up.
Okay.
Because of the seasonality.
Got it. And sir, when is the plant in Kenya expected to be commissioned?
We think we will be able to start trial runs between December and Jan. And then we will be, you know, maybe commercial production will take it up in March, or we'll have to make a call once trial runs happen.
Got it. So the revenue will be flat for this year, if I compare it to last year.
Come again, sir?
The revenue for Africa business will be flat this year.
In terms of revenue, it will be a little flattish, but bottom line wise, it should improve.
Got it. And so I have a few bookkeeping questions. So if you could just let me know the average procurement price and realization price for this quarter.
Yeah, for the quarter two, was it?
Quarter two, the average procurement price is 38.39. The realization is 57.50.
For India.
For consolidated.
Okay. And so what was the current sales amount for this quarter in rupee terms?
In rupee terms, the turnover for Q2 is... Revenue is 767 crores.
Card
sales is 160 crores. Q2 160 crores.
Okay. Sure, sir. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Maithili Balakrishnan from Alchemy. Please go ahead. Hello. Yes, ma'am. Please continue. Yeah. I wanted to get a sense of this 15 crore investment that we are planning in Maharashtra. You know, what are we sort of, is it going to be a new processing plant and how to sort of think about it?
So basically in Maharashtra, sure, we are trying to look at it as Eastern Maharashtra, man. And what we are proposing now is because it's only going to be, we are looking at the land to start with, because only once we finalize the land, we'll be able to get the actual sense of what is the costing and other elements that come into play. Regarding the rationale behind going to Maharashtra, BBK will explain them.
Yeah, madam, see, already since 2 years we are collecting milk from Maharashtra, mostly from Solapur district, and already we are collecting 2.2 lakhs. And see, our target is, you know, In couple of years now, our target is around 5 lakhs. So all the milk, mostly it is coming from Hyderabad and further, you know, into Andhra plants. So see, we wanted to have an integrated plant close the surrounding Solapur district.
So basically, it will be a foray into Maharashtra, ma'am. It will start with collecting milk there, condensing or making into powder, and are starting to sell also, hopefully, the products and milk in the future.
Got it. Any timelines which you have for getting the plant up and running here?
I think we should look at around a 2-year timeline, from current year, from current date to a couple of years. It should be up and running.
Got it. And I just wanted to confirm my understanding. The milk procurement price is 38.3, and the sale price is 57.5, right?
That is from consolidated, ma'am.
Yeah, if you take only from India, it will be 39 rupees.
Procurement price?
Yeah.
Sale price would be?
57.5.
Got it. Just wanted to get a bit of, you know, understanding about the sustainability of the same, because, you know, now the spread between this selling and procurement price is, you know, 18-19 rupees odd. You know, and just wanted to get a sense of, is this something that can be sustained, or we should expect it to sort of come off a little going ahead?
I think it will sustain or improve for a bit, even in the current quarter. The coming quarter, it should be way better, because as you're saying, first season, we don't anticipate increase in procurement prices going up, rather they might come down, come off a little bit and help in margin improvement a bit. Also, the following fourth quarter, we shouldn't see much of change, because I think the volume of milk that is there to coming down won't be that much of a dramatic drop in it, and that will be compensated by, you know, the weather improving and our sales volume, sales volumes also picking up. So we don't see it coming down, and maybe we'll see a better improvement rather than coming down.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Nayyar from Systematix. Please go ahead. Mr. Nayyar, I have unmuted your line.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Hi, good morning, sir, and congratulations on a good, good performance. Sir, to start with, I mean, a very commendable margin performance from you guys, and you are saying that procurement prices can come off further, and the fact that we have a lot of inventory, given the procurement that we have done aggressively. So what's your margin outlook in the near term? Do you think we can get close to double-digit margins next quarter or the next couple of quarters?
For the quarter, I think we can look at the double digit, I mean, the coming quarter can come to the double-digit margins. And also going forward, I think we can try to be closer to them, right? Between the 9%-10% should not be much of an issue. Also, the advantage we will have is because the inventory that we'll be holding will be at cost. I think when we start consuming the inventory in future, it also should help us a bit because of the actual cost, I mean, consumption cost time, because this will be at a lower price when we take it at manufacturing cost. So I think we will have a good runway in the short term regarding profitability.
Got it. Got it. And secondly, on the cattle feed plant that we have recently commissioned, by when do you see that sort of scaling up to a full capacity and the sort of margins that that can deliver for us?
So, VVK will take that question.
Yes, we have commissioned just, you know, September end only, that's a new plant. So already now, slightly we are producing, but maybe, you know, it will take the third quarter, it will take, you know, maybe it will see caught on the numbers only from fourth quarter.
It will help us improve also. Suppose if we're doing average around 2,000 tons, we think we'll at least be able to add another 1,000-1,500 tons and from the new plant coming in. And once it stabilizes, we will take a call from the next year on.
Got it. And then one more point on the margins, the final one, would be, I mean, this Kenya plant starting up and this cattle feed plant also beginning. I think in the initial phase, do you think it will put some sort of pressure on our consolidated margins?
I don't think so, sir, because basically these plants which are operating, they will not operate as much as in the negative. Once they start operating, they'll all turn to be positive, because at the EBITDA level at least, because basically whatever we are buying and selling, they'll be positive at the EBITDA level. Maybe a little bit thanks to, you know, more of depreciation, and there might be overall impact at the PAT level marginally, but not majorly at EBITDA levels.
Yeah, one more issue also, if you take feed, you know, already we are getting, you know, third-party manufacturing, that will be discontinuing.
With the commissioning of new plant. I don't think feed, you know, will have any negative impact on the profitability.
Got it. And final question on the CapEx side. I mean, have we decided on a number both for this year and the next, given that we are now looking at organic expansion in Maharashtra? So anything which you can sort of talk about, any number you sort of...
So Himanshu, sir, regular CapEx that we are talking is on track, which we are doing, which we are talking about the... we have done up to now, I think, around 40 crores in terms of chilling centers, addition capacity and all that. And we had budgeted around... we had budgeted around... No, for the year, we had budgeted a little more. Around 109 crores, I think, which we'll be spending as we go forward. But this is not considering the new plant. That's the reason we're taking permission from our board first to finalize on the land. And then we will be coming out with the larger organic plant there. So I think for the larger organic plant also, it won't be much in terms of, you know, CapEx. It cannot be huge, I guess. Maybe, I don't know yet, but some numbers, maybe in the 100-150 crore kind of a number, or marginally differential is what it will come to.
Yeah, but you know, we are planning for a little bigger capacity. So definitely, because we need at least minimum 50 acres land what we are looking. So we don't know the exact prices, land prices. So approximately, we have taken a 15 crore approval from the board. So that, you know, we can acquire enough land. In future, you know, we can have up to 10 lakh capacity per plant also.
Got it, sir. Got it. That's it from me, sir. Thank you. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good margin expansion. So the first one is just a clarification on the inventory levels, right? Is this now a conscious choice? I mean, building up so much inventory, was this a conscious choice? And also, did you just happen to say that by the year end, you know, our inventory days numbers would, you know, continue to be at the historic levels of, you know, let's say around 18 to 20 days? Or would we see a surge in inventory days or the inventory levels going forward structurally?
I think this will be only the 20 days, might go up to 25 or 30 days, ma'am, because like you said, also it is a flush that has happened, and the more of, you're saying, we're procuring more milk, keeping up with thinking, like you're saying earlier, that we will not be buyers in future, we might become net sellers. So I think by the time we adjust, it cannot be a precise match. So I think these numbers will largely remain as the previous years, maybe with the differential of some 30, 40 crores plus or minus, depending on the flush, if it will continue for a couple of months more, or it will be where it is now.
Okay. And on the growth for H2, how is the growth looking like? So are we still expecting to, you know, clock a double-digit kind of a growth?
Yes, revenue-wise, we'll continue with the double-digit kind of growth. Now, we also are seeing, because again, I guess once Jan-Feb comes into play, the volumes of the seasonality come into play also, and then it will go forward.
Right. And lastly, on the cattle feed business, if you could just comment on the, you know, how the cattle feed pricing is shaping up, and hence how the margins are expected to shape up. Any correction in the cattle feed prices or are they still stable?
So basically, I'll just give you an overall brief, ma'am, and Murli will give you the specific numbers of cattle feed. So we think that maybe the next year it will help us a little more in terms of volume, but because the capacity that we have taken up as an expansion is almost five times of what we already have, so it will take a little more longer to get to optimal usage. But I think in the specifics, we do think that it will do a lot of, more than what we have done earlier. So, and Murli, give the specifics.
Yeah, we have done 20 crores for business in this quarter, madam, compared with last quarter of 15 crores. That is a 13% of growth we have. Even EBITDA also we have grown. Comes to the sales realization, we are at 25.70 against of 24.93, so there is a 3% of growth we have done. And raw material price is 21 rupees in this quarter. Man.
So we don't see raw material prices jumping up a lot, man.
Not
I think
there is a minor jump.
Minor jump, and which we are able to pass on to the farmer and keep our margin profile.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resham Jain from DSP Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning, team. So I have two questions. First one is more in terms of medium term. Last 2 years, we have seen a significant increase in the milk prices. And obviously, we had COVID-related issues. And because of that, the bovine population itself, actually, it came down. So now with milk pricing prices being at an elevated level, how do you see the overall bovine population growing? And how should one look at the supply-demand situation over the next, let's say, 1 to 2 years?
I think the supply will keep improving. So the overall thing, thankfully, whatever COVID, we have not increased selling prices to the consumer and also passing on the same benefit to the farmer. So with the farmer getting a better realization now, we hope that you know, the productivity will continue and it will be at least maintained or go forward and improve as it goes forward in the medium term. So I presume it will improve a little bit more because the same hike that, if you look at the procurement price hike of the 10 to 15% that has been passed on to the farmers, now I think it is bridging the gap more and more and making farming more lucrative. So I'm hoping that it will encourage more farmers to come into dairy farming and improve their productivity levels also.
So, sir, when we look at last one and a half years, when we saw a continuous increase in the milk prices and margins were a little depressed, structurally, should one expect that next 1 to 2 years, given the supply-demand scenario, margins should not go back to those levels, what we have seen in FY23?
I don't think so, sir. It will maintain the margin profile in terms of the percentages. We have to look at it, but from an absolute number point of view, it's going to be a call that the companies have to make. If we want to be a little more aggressive in spending in terms of getting more market share, I think at a gross margin level, we won't see any difference. But at an operating level, depending on how much of money that we're churning, we might take a call a little more here and there. But gross margins will continue to maintain.
Okay, understood. And sir, my last question is on the overall CapEx. This year also, we have close to 109 odd crore capex, which is almost 50% or less than 50% of our cash generation, which we are doing for the year. And we have almost 350 crores of cash as well. So how are we thinking in terms of incremental capex or capital allocation? Are we thinking about more like kind of acceleration in terms of growth plans, or how do you think about cash going forward?
Actually, we will be looking at acceleration of growth plans, at least for the short term, so for the next couple of years, like you were saying earlier regarding the Maharashtra unit that we are deploying and going into larger volumes of sale. We will be looking at it only from a deployment from acceleration point of view of sale.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Rishan, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Suruchi Parmar from NX Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Suruchi.
Sir, I want to understand on this Orga feed where we have, I believe, expanded the capacity from around existing capacity to 4x or 5x. So what is the outlook on here? Currently, I think we are doing some around 50 odd crore of revenue.
Yes, sir. So basically, from looking at a quantitative point of view, we were doing earlier 2,000 tons and the new plant that we have put up will be for around 10,000 tons of additional capacity that we will be adding. I think in the current year, which we is, you know, the remaining part of the year which we are looking at, we will start using maybe 10-15% of the capacity as we go forward. But I think in another couple of years, we should be able to scale up to almost 30-40% of the capacity utilization as we go forward. Because as we are right now catering only to a smaller portion of our farmers, then if we actually take it and increase it and give it to the other farmers, we'll be able to achieve it. So that's the reason we've also taken a larger capacity.
Yeah, roughly about, you know, we have 140,000 farmers. Right now we are pouring milk to us. And now we are catering feed only 30,000 farmers. So since, you know, the new seed plant is commenced, you know, slowly now see that the farmer, you know, we are increasing. People who are taking our feed.
OK. Okay, understood. But follow-up on this, we have expanded the capacity to 4x or 5x something, but still we are saying in 2 years only, we will be able to utilize the capacity to 30%.
No, we are being conservative on saying the 30-40%, but I'm sure it can also do much better. We are being very on the, more on the conservative side.
Okay. The next question on the international business, our South Africa, Kenya, Uganda business, this is around a single digit of overall consolidated revenue, around 7-10% something. So what is the outlook and growth vision here? Will this business become 20-25% in next 3 years or something, or this size will remain same?
So I think on a proportion it will grow, but it will remain same because now when we are looking at India growth coming up and what we are growing, initially now we have this hiccup between the cross-border of what the countries have. But once we start our own production in Kenya, we will get improved volumes. But I think because of the overall structure, we will continue to grow in proportionality as what we are growing with India, we will maintain the same proportionality. As an absolute, it will grow, but as a percentage, it might remain the same.
Okay, so any further investment on CAPEX envisaged for international business in next 2-3 years, Uganda and Kenya?
No, what we have in Kenya, we have to basically streamline the Kenyan operation more, and nothing much at the moment.
Okay, and the next question on value-added products. So around our value-added product share is around 26-27%. And what I remember from last call, you said it's 100 bits incremental possible going forward. So just want to understand, other than curd, in the rest of the other value-added products like ice cream, ghee, paneer or something, our business share or volume share is very much low. So what is our thought process and strategy here to grow the value-added business at much higher rate?
Oh, see, basically our value-added business, when we look at it, in fact, has done 100 bits better than, if I remove the fat, fat was earlier 2% and then it dropped to 1% now. And whereas our other value-added VAPs actually have increased from 3-4%. It is because of the drop in the fat sale that we had that it doesn't show up much. But again, as I keep saying, we will keep pursuing our VAP increase in terms of our ice cream, flavored milk and paneer and other products that we are doing. But as a market itself compared to milk, these products are much smaller. So in terms of size and scale, when you look at it as the overall bucket, it will still look only as growing at that 1 or 2 basis points, but it won't. But that will be a substantial growth when you look from a category point of view.
Okay. And how much market share we have in Karnataka? Because Karnataka, I believe, Nandini has a dominant market share.
Yes, Nandini is a dominant market share, but we are, I think, the leaders in Karnataka. I think these are estimates according to us, right? And we assume that if Nandini is doing around 50 lakh liters out of milk, that we will be doing 5 lakh of liters. So we will be around the 8-9% of market share in Karnataka.
Okay. What is the vision of Maharashtra? Just to understand how much CAPEX, what is the size of business we are establishing here, and further, on procurement size, how we will be able to get the milk from the farmers, because those farmers will already be supplying to somebody else. So can you just give some vision on the market?
Yeah. So basically, if you look at it in the past year or two itself, we have been able to get 2 lakh liters. And in fact, we had actually slowed down last year because in Maharashtra prices were higher. We were trying to do balancing of getting milk from other areas and doing it. See, basically, what happens is most of us, when we go to Maharashtra for procurement, we are B2C companies, right? So we do not dramatically move up in pricing. There are a lot of other players in Maharashtra who are commodity-driven, and if commodity prices, for example, tank, they cannot afford to give higher prices to the farmers, so they also will bring down the prices. We being more stable with our pricing, we presume that the farmers come to us, and also our processes and systems we have developed over a period of time are also very helpful to the farmers. Like, for example, like we keep saying that we're going direct to the farmers, making payment into the farmers, trying to go more and trying to develop village level shilling and a lot of other activities that we do, including cattle feed or other health services related, is the reason why we get more farmers to our side.
But are we putting a plant here in Maharashtra and doing some CAPEX, or
Yes, so that's what we have announced, that we will be buying the land first to identify where we are, and then we'll be building the plant. So we'll start with the plant which will be there for helping the product move to milk and milk products to move for our markets in Andhra and Telangana where we are operating. But in the longer term, yes, this will be the initial foray that we are doing into Maharashtra.
So we will be selling in Maharashtra with the Dodla brand, correct?
The Dodla brand, not immediately once, because the plant has to come into place and then we will start doing. We are already doing in the border towns, we sell a little bit, but in the future, because we will have to enter other states also, it will be there.
So it will be in around 2 years' time?
Hello?
It will be around 2 to 3 years' timeline?
At least 2 years' timeline will be better.
Okay, and what will be the size of the CAPEX?
Right now we are not yet, because once we finalize on the land, but like I said, it will be at least the 100 to 150 crores or maybe a little more than even 150 crores of investment, sir.
Okay. And currently, we are net debt-free balance sheet and we would be having around cash of around 400 to 500 crores. Number is correct?
Maybe around the 380 with the next couple of years, whatever we are doing, yes, we will be around the 400, 500, but I think once we start expanding more and more and our volumes are growing, like you've seen this year when you see our inventory going up, the cash can also be moved into the form of inventory as we grow in size, because as overall 30 days, 40 days, our size of operations also grow.
Okay. Okay, last question from my side, sir. What type of revenue growth we can envisage for next 3 to 5 years? And
we target our 15% kind of growth rates, what we have been doing historically, sir, as revenue.
Okay, and what will be the margin? Will we able to sustainable double digit margin, and will we able to maintain ROC of 20% type of number?
We strive a lot to maintain those ROC numbers, sir. In fact, we'll try to improve them, because the cash on the balance sheet, it pulls it down a bit, but otherwise our ROC numbers, we try to keep going ahead with and improving them. But that number, yes, we will try to maintain that number of ROC numbers that we are looking at, sir.
Because last 2 years,
maybe as a percentage of double digit, because dairy industry, like you guys were seeing, last year was low, this year is high. But from an absolute number terminology point of view, we will continue to grow at a double digit pace from absolute numbers.
But okay, and margin guidance, it will be around 8 to 9%, or will be able to achieve 10% plus?
I always, on the conservative side, sir, I'd rather take the first numbers that you said and deliver maybe the other numbers when it comes to the end of the year.
Okay. Thank you from my side. Thank you, sir. Thank you for great numbers. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ramesh from Smart Investment Solutions. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Ramesh.
Yes, sir. So, what is the sale outlook? Actually, the previous guy asked, what is the sale outlook for the current year in the next 6 months? How are we looking in the sale outlook?
The sales, we think we will continue to maintain this 10-12% growth by value, Ramesh.
10-12% value growth. And milk volume, if I see, it is almost stagnant compared to last year, 10.9 million something. 10 lakh liters, 10.9 lakh liters, and this year also it was around 10.9 lakh liters in Q2. Was it because of industries stagnant, or are there any other reasons?
Basically, for all of us, we have seen the same. I guess because overall, when the price increases happened substantially, and a couple of times increase, decrease, and certain, I think, even small issues, like if you take the Kaveri dispute, where the 3-4 days of lack of volume sale, shutdown, monsoon weathers, which are a little adverse. But I think it will improve in the next couple of quarters.
Okay. Because I was recently listening to Heritage call also, they grew by 1% in their milk volumes. They were also commenting the same thing, like milk was stagnant. So is it because of geography mix they were growing and we were not growing? Is it a...
Both of us have also grown in the similar lines. All of us, I think, including the other listed entities, most of us have grown in the similar growth lines.
Okay. And coming to your CapEx, this Maharashtra plant, what are you going to set up? What will be the LPD capacity you are going to set up?
I think that we have not yet firmed up things, sir, but at least it will be looking at a 5 lakh liter per day as additional capacity with probability of going up to 10 lakhs because Maharashtra as a state has got tremendous potential in milk availability.
Okay. In Q2, did you have any bulk sale? Because most of the listed players in dairy, they were doing this bulk sale because of bulk prices tank. So, did you do any
bulk sale? We didn't do any bulk sales. No bulk sales at all. Not yet. No bulk sales. It was all B2C.
They decreased their inventory to the half and we increased by almost 100%. So, is it a strategic call to increase our inventory for future or... is it because of procurement flush we are keeping
No, it's been a strategic call. So if you look at our couple of earlier quarters, we said that we will continue to increase our procurement, that we will become only maybe net sellers but not net buyers. In keeping in view that strategic move is only what we are doing. So now we are going to be procuring a little bit more. But to time it exactly to market, procurements will be a little bit of a differential in time. But otherwise, we will continue to keep growing with our procurement and getting more milk into the system.
Okay. And coming to your gross margin, we grew by almost 4.2% compared to last quarter. Is it driven by procurement price or any other factor contributing to it?
I think it's driven by procurement price only. So other than the marginal, but majorly procurement price.
Majorly procurement. And my final question, did we reach our pre-COVID levels in our milk sales?
I think we have grown more than our pre-COVID levels, sir.
If you see first quarter to second quarter,
pre-COVID levels we have grown.
We have grown past pre-COVID levels. Can you help me out with the percentage, how much we have grown?
In terms of profitability or revenue, sir?
Revenue.
Volume
basically.
Revenue, we are at 767 crores, sir, in this quarter.
Pre-COVID,
we never had a this quarter, this much of revenue earlier.
So, we take 20 or 21 as pre-COVID level, sir. We have to take it, let's say, if it is 21, Q2 was around 460 crores, and now FY24, Q2 is around 767 crores, sir.
Okay.
At a consolidated level.
Sir. And even the part, we are at a very highest, sir, compared with any quarter. We are at 43 crores. Earlier, the least, like what you said, is Q2 of FY21, that is a 42. So that we surpassed in this quarter. In absolute amount of part.
Just a follow-up question. I was asking about milk volume growth, milk sales growth.
Volume. Yeah, milk sales growth also if I take 21, if you take Q2 of, this is Q2. Q2 you have around 10,25,000 liters of growth and now we are at 14.15 lakh liters, sir.
Overall.
Consolidated 10.25 to 14.15.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Patil from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is about a small clarification that I require on the cattle feed prices. I think you said that the raw material prices are likely to remain stable and not improve materially. So, am I correct on that understanding?
Yes, sir. It will continue to procurement prices, we are assuming, will remain stable. You heard me.
Yeah. Procurement prices, you know, slightly slow only. It will remain same in the third quarter also.
Yeah. And on CapEx, you said that till date we have done about 40 odd crores. And what is the expectation for FY24 on a full year basis?
On a full year basis, I think we will reach around 60 to 70 crores at least, sir. CapEx.
Yeah, that's. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So, my question is regarding a foray into Maharashtra. So, you answered this partly, but if you could just talk about why have we chosen
breaking up, sir. Could you come again, sir?
Hello? Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, sir, please proceed.
Yeah, so my question was regarding a foray into Maharashtra. So if we just talk about why have we chosen Maharashtra as a state to increase our procurement and not deepen our presence in other southern states or get into any other new states like Odisha. So if we just talk about why the industry dynamics or competition in Maharashtra as compared to other southern states.
Okay, so for Maharashtra, for us, sir, the little muffled, so I'll just get the question straight and then I'll answer it. So I'm assuming you're saying why Maharashtra versus other states that we are going into is the question, is what I'm assuming, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So, go ahead, please.
Now we are collecting from Andhra and Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, and then we are targeting Maharashtra also. Maharashtra also is very closer to our Hyderabad plant. If you compare with our own, Andhra state mostly get milk from Chittoor to Hyderabad is more than 550-500 kilometers roughly. But whereas in Solapur, it is only 400 kilometers. So proximity-wise, Maharashtra also is closer to our Telangana Hyderabad plant. That is a major advantage.
So operationally, when we look at it, initially it will be Solapur to our existing volume requirements and growth in the Telangana belts of operation. And as the stabilizes, we will be looking more into the Maharashtra side of going towards more of the western region of Maharashtra. It will earlier be more of a procurement thing, a game to start with, but with time it will also be a market sales game.
Got it. And sir, what is the competition or the number of players we have in Maharashtra as compared to southern states and the presence of cooperatives in Maharashtra?
Competition in all the states is almost equal, so people change in terms of the name. Maharashtra, yes, there is a little more competition because you have the commodity players on one side, a lot of them. I don't think the cooperatives are that much there in Maharashtra. Comparatively, the private sector is larger than the cooperatives in Maharashtra. But also, if you look at the volume of milk available in Maharashtra, is much larger. So what volumes we are talking of will not be significant in terms of the overall state percentage market share that we're looking at.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on the touchtone phone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sunil Reddy for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I would like to thank all the participants for joining the call and giving us our opportunity to present our numbers to all of you. As always, we will stand committed to our ESG practices and to give value to all our stakeholders. And thank you very much and happy Dasara to all of you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.